Welcome to day 148. We are up to the fifth perek of Masechta Shavuos. I apologize for my voice this time. It's not because I'm sick, but because we're in Poland and we just danced and sang at the kever of the Radomsker. What's a Hasidic giant. So that's very exciting. Anyway, we are continuing with the fifth perek, and the fifth perek is going to discuss something that we've begun discussing before, which is when are fruits considered Peru Shavuos, meaning when is to what year of the Shemitah cycle are fruits considered? What does it go based on? So we said that when it comes to vegetables, it goes based on when you pick them. But when it comes to fruit, as we saw, and as we discussed, when it comes to fruit, it goes by when they emerge. It's called Chanata. It goes when they emerge, not necessarily when they ripen, although when they ripen and when they emerge, usually in most cases happens in the same year, but there are a few exceptions. So when we have those exceptions where it emerges in one year but then ripens in another year, the Mishnah feels it's important to point out that even in those situations it goes by the emergence of the fruit and not by the ripening of the fruit. So says Mishnah Aleph, Benos Shuach, which is a type of fig, Shviis Shalahem Shnia. Their Shviis year is during the second year of the Shemitah cycle. What does that mean? So they ripen generally in the second cycle, even though they emerged during the Shemitah year itself. Says the Mishnah, Shehein Osos L'Shaloshanim. It usually takes 3 years. So they emerge in the seventh year, but they only start ripening in the second year. So when you pick them in the second year, they actually have Kedushas Peru Shviis. They're considered a Shviis fruit, because it doesn't matter that they ripened and were picked in the second year. That means, that reveals, so to say, that the chanata, that the emergence, was during the Shemitah year, and therefore you have to treat it with Kedusha Shviis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Harparsios, when it comes to another type of fig, Shviis Shalahen Motzai Shviis. Similarly, their Shviis is going to be in the eighth year, meaning Motzai Shviis, the year after the seventh year. Their year is going to be in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, meaning the eighth year, because of the same concept, Shehen Osos L'Shteishan, because they take 2 years. So if it ripens in the eighth year, that shows that it really emerged in the seventh year, and it all goes by the emergence, the Chanata, when it comes to Shemitah. And therefore, you would treat those eighth year fruits with Kedusha Shviis, because they clearly emerged in the seventh year if they're only ripening in the eighth year. Now, says the Rabbanan, Amru Lo, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Amru El Beno Shuach. No, they disagree. That last case of the Parsios, it doesn't apply to that. It only applies to the Beno Shuach. It seems like they're having a disagreement as to Metzius, which means that they're actually arguing about what is the reality on the ground. They think that the only fruit, the only type of produce that has a different year for the emergence and the ripening is that first example of Beno Shuach, that it emerges in the seventh year, but then only ripens in the second year. But this other sort of fig, they say, no, it actually ripens and emerges in the same year. And therefore, if it does ripen in the eighth year, you can also assume that it emerged in the eighth year. So they disagree, again, not with the concept. Everyone's in agreement with the concept. They just disagree with the reality on the ground. And the Gemara points out, actually, that they might actually be talking about these parsias from two different places. That in Rabbi Yehuda's place, yes, it actually it did ripen in a different year. But in the Chachamim, where the Chachamim lived, or the way the Gemara talks about it is Tziporin versus Tveria. So in one place it ripened in the same year, and the other place it didn't ripen in the same year. That's what they're discussing. But the concept is the same. Whenever it emerges, that is considered the year of the fruit itself. So if it emerges during the seventh year, it doesn't matter when it ripens. It is considered a Shemitah food. So that is Mishnah Aleph. Now for Mishnah Beis, we're going to switch topics a little bit and talk about a luf. A luf is a type of onion that after they would pick it, the practice was that they would rebury it in the ground. That would maintain its freshness. That would preserve it. The problem is, of course, is that looks like planting. You're digging a hole, putting something in the ground, and then covering it up. That's the problem. It could look like you're planting during Shviis. So let's say a person wants to bury this luf in the ground during Shviis, which should be okay because it's not planting, but how do you do it in a way that doesn't look like that? So says Mishnah Beis, Hatomin is a luf Shviis, one who is burying this luf, this onion during Shviis. So what do you do in order to make sure that it doesn't look like you're planting? Rabbi Meir Omer, lo yifchos mi'sa'asayim, in one kind of digging, you shouldn't have fewer than sa'asayim, which is 12 kav of onions, a bunch of onions, because you'd never put that much in a very small area like that. Clearly, if you're putting a lot, it looks like you are not planting, but only preserving. And ad gova shlosha tefachim, it needs to be at least 3 tefachim high, and 3 tefachim deep into the ground, meaning there needs to be a ton. That's the point here. The tefach, afar al gavav, and you have to have a full tefach of dirt above it. All three of those conditions ensure that it looks like you are not planting, but instead just preserving, because again, you would never put a full tefach of dirt above planting. You'd put a small little layer if you were actually planting. It wouldn't be effective otherwise. Chachamim say same idea. We need to make sure it doesn't look like planting, but they have a different cheshbon. They say lo yivchos me arbas kavin. You only need 4 kavin. You don't need 12. You only need 4 kavin. I mean, that's enough to show that you're not planting. Ad gova tefach, and it only needs to be a tefach deep, not 3 tefachim deep. But tefach afar al gavav, and you still need that tefach of dirt above. That's the key factor according to them. You need to show that you have a lot, not a ton, but a lot. And then if you put that key, that tevach of dirt above, then it's very clearly demonstrating that you are not planting, but instead you are only burying. So again, they don't need 12 kavim, they only need 4, they don't need 3 tevachim deep, only 1, but they agree with the tevach of dirt above. Finally, v'tamra b'makam drisas adam. They do have one more condition, though, that Rabbi Meir didn't have, and that is you can only do this in a place where people constantly walk. Drisas adam. Because if that's true, then if you were planting, you would never plant in a place where people are constantly walking, because it would ruin the soil, it would ruin the crop. And therefore, if you're doing it in a place where people are constantly walking, that show, it doesn't matter for preserving it. It doesn't ruin the loof in the ground. That would show, again, that your intention is very clearly not to plant, but instead only to preserve this loof in the ground. That is Mishnah Beis. We'll continue with Mishnah Gimel tomorrow.